Welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 4, Episode 13, Kiss My Wookie. The book, The Courtship of Princess Leia, by Dave Wolverton. The year, 1995, Chapters 25, 26, and 27. With your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go.
Hi, I'm the Herbs and Spices Kid.
Take it down a notch, Han.
If you leave Star Fox there, he's gonna eat that millennial goose.
Yeah. Hey, bees, hey, bees, hey, bees.
Yo, beepity boop, bitches, I got it.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe.
Ooh, baby. It's the end. My only friend, the end.
We've come to the end of another fascinating Expounded Universe Legends novel, The Courtship of Princess Leia, the last three chapters, because it turns out that this is 25, 26, and 27. You're getting an epilogue today, my friends.
Ooh. I mean,
John's got so much yawn in him. That's how exciting this is.
I mean, one of the chapters, thankfully, is just like 4 pages long, so it's not exactly like we did a whole bunch of extra reading.
No, I did very little extra reading. But still, get excited for a bonus chapter, people. We're giving it away to you.
A whole boners chapter.
Free. A whole chapter on boners, in which we will finally find out how many boners the Joker can make.
In Star Wars.
He's there, you know.
He is. He's there. Mark Hamill.
Yeah, that's true. Whoa. I never put that together before. This book stars the Joker.
And you say I can look at every image individually?
Oh, how many times are we going to watch that Leonard Nimoy talking to a big beeping salt infomercial, John?
Too many. Too many times.
Of course I can understand you.
I'm Leonard Nimoy. Come on. Jesus.
Who would be better qualified to understand you?
A beeping salt? Well, I'm Leonard Nimoy.
You're only the fifth beeping salt I've met this week. And you say you're here for Magnavox because, you know,
I already talked to Sony's beeping salt. Tell them no deal unless they raise the rate.
I was trying to think of any other 70s technology, and I was coming up blank. Anyhow, this week we are discussing The Courtship of Princess Leia, the end.
The end, we're done.
Thank you so much for listening. Hey, whatever. That was a 90-minute system mastery we just put out.
Yeah, man, whatever. It's fine.
It's fine.
Just go listen to that.
Go listen to that again. And pretend we're talking about Star Wars. It's close enough. It's a Palladium game.
Yeah. Those are basically the same thing.
Why not? Anyway, at the beginning of Chapter 25, it turns out we were wrong at the end of Chapter 24, because Gethzarion does not have Luke in her possession.
Yeah, apparently she was like, I'm going to fuck your shit up. And then
did not.
I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, then she just
done.
She just left. I don't know why. I mean, we've established a lot about Gethzarion in the past couple of weeks of episodes. We know a lot about her that we did not know at the beginning.
Yeah.
She's from Florida.
Her love of Virginia Slims.
Yeah. And of Slim Jims.
And of Slim guys named Jim.
And of Slim Jimming open cars to steal them. To buy more Slim Jims. She's the kind of person that would go to 7-Eleven, buy a Slim Jim, and microwave it in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
As a hot meal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's Gethzarion. That's who she is.
Gethzarion's the type of person that would throw a live alligator at someone in a Wendy's drive-thru if they got their order wrong.
Gethzarion doesn't need a lightsaber because she has a frozen fish. Gethzarion could also escape from the planet if she could just get her riding mower working again.
She could just get this going again. She works on it every day, covered in grease.
It's out in her yard.
Up on blocks.
Immediately adjacent to an upturned refrigerator full of mosquito larvae. Yep, that's Gethzarion. So presumably she just ditched Luke to leave because it was meth o'clock.
Yeah, she's like, oh, look at the time. And just has a thing on her wrist that says meth.
Yeah. She's like, whoa, can't read the thing on my wrist that says meth. It must be half past the shakes 030. Looks like I need my fix.
Luke just sort of gets left to bleed out, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Classic villain mistake.
Yeah.
A classic villain boner, if you will.
That's what Gethzarion is about.
Mm-hmm.
She is about those classic villain boners.
The villain boners of old.
Well, yeah. I mean, Sheev. He's got that villain boner of old.
Well, the rest of me is, but that part's still young and virile, sweetie.
Ah, that part's a transplant.
I've got the boner of a 20-year-old. Dash Rendar's brother, actually.
Sigh.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyhow, Luke just sort of wakes up on the battlefield.
Yeah, but this is a very short chapter where Luke attains Jedi ascendance, basically.
Yeah, he kind of levels up. So he wakes up in the dirt, and he's all of a sudden he's like, whoa, the Force is in. It's very much the description of someone who's getting high for the first time.
Yeah, he's it's the very first, like, weed conversation you ever had with someone where they're like, oh my God, I never realized we're all connected. And you're like, yeah, I get it. It's your first time being high. The universe is a giant sphere. We're all connected. Trees are alive.
They call them fingers, but you never see them fing.
Yeah, we get it. You're having one of those moments. It's fine. Can we just speed through this so we can get to the point where we get pizza?
That's when you need that emergency, Danny.
Look, dude, you've gone way too transcendental on your first time. We need emergency Denny's to bring you down.
You're going to need to gruffle this one out. You need a grand slamwich stat.
My dude, you need a sampler platter of just fried things that are brown.
Can I get that $9 Play-Doh brown, please?
Thank you. Extra. And plenty of ranch, please.
Whoa, they call it ranch, but no one raises cows in it. Oh, there they go.
Wait a minute. And then he just puts a little toy cow in the bucket of ranch.
That's good. I was very anxious for a second there.
Okay, I'm good now, guys.
I'm fine. I thought I was going to need emergency Denny's.
The emergency Denny's is just Waffle House.
It's just an ever-reducing quality chain of restaurants.
Yeah, you just keep going down the line of shitty diners.
Why we have Friendlies? Oh, it was real bad.
You got real bad.
You want bath salts? There's no other excuse for you to be at this Arby's.
This isn't even a diner anymore. God damn.
You're just in an Arby's. You're just behind an Arby's.
You've just jumped into the dumpster of an Arby's.
Yelled something about eating face, but that roast beef would work. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Luke.
Oh, yeah. Luke has gotten to the point where he's like, the Force. The Force is, it's everywhere. I was so worried about the Force being a thing that I use, but the Force is so immense. And then he just starts, like, tripping balls, and he's like, there's a worm, and the worm is beneath me, and he's the Force. And then there's a lizard, and he breathes out, and it's a cloud of Force.
Yeah, okay, buddy, you're right.
There's a dinosaur, and he's miles away, and he looks up, and he's like, you're my friend.
Yeah, you're right in the great works of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Come on.
This dinosaur is my friend, even though he's not nearby. Wow.
Also, a lizard is breathing the Force on me.
Oh, no.
So everything turns all light blue, and he looks at a lizard breathe a cloud of Force at him, and he, off in the distance, one of the great blue desert people from a previous bonus content looks up and goes, yes, my dude, yes.
Yes, my dude, it is Wednesday.
Yes, my dude, Starship Troopers is every bit as good as you think it is.
It is.
It is. It's really good.
It's real fucking good.
You should watch it right now, Luke.
All of this in the book.
It's a great stoner afternoon Saturday.
Yeah, so Luke just sort of goes into a Force healing coma at this point. Like, he realizes that all the universe is Force, and Force is all the universe, and we are all connected in a great wheel.
And the wheel is all connected in a great us. He enters that tautology phase of being too high.
Yeah, he's so high, he's nearing what it's like to read a Phil Broukatis Satiro's book.
So
he's like, do I use the Force, or does the Force use me? Twiddly-dee! The fairies have come!
Kaloo-kalay!
Jenna Moran wrote this chapter.
Also known as the Hollyhock chapter. Also known as the Oleander Experience.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so this is the super short chapter. It's just Luke freaks out a little on force drugs and then starts to heal.
Yeah. Eventually, we revisit him. He's being dragged along by good guys.
Yeah, because Han is on his way to go give himself up.
Yeah.
But he sees Luke being carried by peasants.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. It's good that they are peasants.
There's definitely some peasants here. They're chanting about Brave Sir Robin.
So I assume just menfolk are carrying Luke up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And Han's like, oh, fuck me in the ass. What happened here?
Yeah, so he has to go over and investigate. And he's like, hey, Han. He doesn't want to quite tell Luke what he's up to.
He's like, hey, Luke, what's going on? I gotta go, but I'm glad you're alive.
I got to do a thing.
And Luke just, like, is dead, but then snaps open his eyes, and he's just like, Han, my bookie.
Han, my bookie.
I want 20 on Philly to win.
Put it down.
Put it down, my bookie.
Han, I need a moons over my hammy. Han,
take me to the Denny's. I've seen too much.
I need a milkshake with a little extra in the tin. They stopped doing that years ago, Luke. No!
And that's how Luke fell to the dark side.
Well, at least I need 3 pancake puppies then.
I need unlimited pancakes for $4.
And then the waiter never visits me again.
I get a stack of 3 and then I'm just done, apparently.
So they have a brief conversation, but Han is unwilling to reveal what he's on about. At the end of the last chapter, we established that he's going to go turn himself into Gethsarion.
Yeah, because they're killing off prisoners and whatnot.
Yeah. So Luke is being dragged up into the building, and eventually he regains the use of his legs and kind of his personal drive and just goes charging up the building to find everyone and see what's going on.
Yeah, we get him and Leia meet up, and Leia wants to, like, they're fixing the fucking Falcon, and Leia's like, look, we're gonna get the fuck out of here, and we're gonna pay attention to the fucking podcast instead of our phone, Jeff.
I think we just hit 1990 on the Patreon.
I don't give a fuck what we just hit. We're doing a podcast. Put your fucking phone away.
But I'm so excited.
I don't give a fuck what you are.
Fine. I'll drop my phone loosely onto the ground.
Loose phones, drop it everywhere. You're distracting me. I want to apologize to the audience. I want to apologize to our patrons.
It wasn't me, John. My phone sent me an evil message from Chunky Fella.
Oh, no. Chunky Fella stalks the Denny's.
That's why we mentioned Emergency Denny's too much.
Too much. You mention it 3 times, and then Chunky Fella appears. He's like, yo, one of you guys talking about pancakes?
I'd like to build my own Grand Slam. I'll have the 2 pancakes, the 2 pancakes, the 2 pancakes, and the 2 pancakes.
You know, you could just have unlimited pancakes and it costs less than this.
I will devour your soul.
Yeah, all right. That's $2 extra. I mean, I'm only a Denny's waitress. My soul is probably only $2
extra. The important thing is I want you to bring me 8 pancakes at this time and not 3 pancakes with the sort of flaccid promise of more pancakes to be brought later.
Ah, the flaccid promise of more pancakes.
I'm pretty sure that's the sequel to The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Yeah, that's it. Good. So anyway, Leia is trying to be like, oh, Luke, we're going to put you into the Falcon and we're going to get the fuck out of here.
And he's like, no, wake
Han's
me up.
Gonna
Han's
going
to
die.
Han's turning himself into the Gethsarion and we all think he's going to die, but it's okay because I love him again. And Luke's like, no, you don't understand. The worms!
You don't understand. I'm all connected. I need you to wake me up in half an hour, and when you wake me up, I need to have a donut ready. I just need to take a quick stone nap, and then my dude, this party starts.
Now, this sounds like a great stoner joke, but it's actually 3 hours, and it's actually in the book. He's like, wake me up in 3 hours. And that
wake
is,
me up when September ends.
Well, he's like, when are they going to execute Luke? Well, at this point, everyone knows what's going on with the Empire and the Night Witches, and so they know that the Empire is sending down 2 shuttles to pick up Han and give the other night shuttle or the other shuttle to the Night Sisters.
Yeah.
So he's like, when's that going to happen? In 3 hours. Wake me up in 3 hours. Okay, I will. No, you won't. You're lying.
You fuck. Like, Han or Luke gets real, real weird. Like, this whole chapter, like, every single one of these last chapters is Luke just going, like, I've seen too much now. I've gone off the deep end.
Yeah, he's just too forced out. But he's basically completely disbelieving that she's willing to wake him up in 3 hours. I want to know why he doesn't ask, you know, R2 to do this.
Well, I mean, at least eventually Isolde shows up and he's like, oh no, this dude's a crazy wizard. You got to wake him up in 3 hours.
Yeah. He's But Leia knows he's a crazy wizard.
Yeah, but Leia's like, oh, you're my injured brother and I want you to heal. And Isolde's like, dude, don't. If you don't wake him up in 3 hours, he's going to get real cranky.
Also, he's clearly too stoned on force to just set his fucking watch.
Wait a minute. Why does his watch just say meth?
It's half past Jake's 030, Leia. You were supposed to wake me at 1:45.
the whole thing is Leia is supposed to wake him up, and eventually his intense force nonsense convinces her, like, all right, you know what? Sure. I'll fucking wake you up in 3 hours. Great. And then he's just like, sweet, and fucking passes out.
Mm-hmm. So there we go. That's the end of him. Now, interestingly, Tenennial is almost completely gone at this point in the book. She's going to show up a little later in this chapter, I think, but...
It's the conversation that Isolde is going to have with her.
Yeah, that's the one spot. But what happens immediately after he falls asleep? Do we cut to Han?
Yeah, we cut to Han over being brought to Geth Zarion. He's in a fucking, like, the hover car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a dozen witches with him.
It's like, a big car.
What? Why? Why are there a dozen witches here?
We roll deep.
You don't understand. When we roll hard.
We roll deep. We've reserved the back room at the emergency Denny's.
You know, the one that they normally host the AA meetings at?
Yeah,
that's
one.
Where we're going.
And you wonder why it's even there at first, because you're like, it takes you a second to think of the AA meetings, and you're like,
yeah, because you're like, wait a minute,
are people having wedding receptions here?
What is going on here? And you're like, oh, yeah, drunk people. I get it.
It's for AA and NA. I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But your first thought when you see the room back there, you're like, what the? Are people actually having their weddings and shit here?
Is someone having a business meeting at the Denny's? What's happening?
Is that nonsense for quinceañeras?
Oh man, how pissed off would you be if you're having like a sweet 16 or something, like, we're going to the Denny's
and it was all done as a surprise.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's time for my bat mitzvah and here we are at the Denny's.
Honey, we've gone all out for your bat mitzvah. Every single person at the party can have a super bird.
And we hired this guy in a turkey costume. He's the super bird. Oh, look, you're flipping me the super bird.
It's the regular bird, but he put a little cape on his finger. Anyway, Han is all excited because as soon as he gets to Geth Zarion, his plan is to pull the pin on a thermal detonator that he has.
His little buckle detonator that is in his pants.
That's what I've always called my Willy as well.
Buckle detonator?
My little button decorator.
My little button decorator. That's right. That's what I've always called it. Nothing else.
My little button decorator. Trust me, it sounds way more impressive when I say it right.
Trust me, when the lights are down low and fucking Barry White is playing, and I'm like, baby, I'm about to give you the little button decorator. Ooh, it's real good.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. My vocal performance is all screwed up because I'm so worked up right now. Yeah, maybe I'll just calm down a little.
Maybe you should just calm down.
I'll tell you what. You know what always calms me down is checking our Patreon total on my cell phone.
I'm going to steal your phone.
You'll have to get real near my feet for that, because that's where I dropped it.
Real near my feet. Now make movies about them.
Where are we going?
Quentin Tarantino?
Oh, Quentin Tarantino stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. So he gets to the base, and the Geth Zarion just isn't meeting him. He's like, come on.
And it's like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. He's just sitting around just going like, come on.
I'm bored.
I want to blow you up, Deb. Deb, I've got a detonator in my pants.
So he's just hanging around with like a dozen night witches who are just sort of hanging around and cackling. John, I have a question for you about night witches. Do you think they pick their new evil names when they turn into night witches? Or is it just coincidental?
I assume that you get to pick a new name when you become a Night Witch.
Because the only ones we've heard the names of so far, are, you know, there's been like Baruka, which is bad in a little bit. It's kind of like a Veruca Salt kind of thing. But there's also been Ocaron and Gethzerion.
Yeah.
Now, those are definitely some evil names. And Gethzerion is Ogwen's sister.
Yeah.
Like, those people, that's...
I mean, when you're having a kid and you're like, ooh, you're going to be Ogwen, you're going to be Gethzerion.
Yeah.
Like, do you want her to be evil?
That's kind of like, I remember Ralph Bakshi's Wizard, where one of them was named, like, Paladin, and the other one was named, like, the Necromancer.
Yeah. They're like, why would you name your children this?
Oh, my adorable little boy, the Necromancer. You have to say the.
I forget what his name actually was. It was something like Necro Wolf or something. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it was Death Wolf or Necro Wolf or something like that. I also can't remember what the little wizard guy's name was. So it's been a while since I've seen that movie, for good reason.
For very good reason. Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Yeah. Fat little George Carlin with a gun.
That's my biggest fear.
It's another thing I also call my penis from time to time.
The fat little George Carlin with a gun.
Yeah, either that or the little button detonator. You can never tell.
It's always a surprise here. I like to keep them guessing when it comes to my genitalia.
Which one is it going to be this week?
What are you bringing to me now?
The super bird? Oh, great. That's a new one.
No.
No, I will not call it the emergency Denny's.
Baby, we're about to try the Denver Scramble. Okay, no, we're not. We're not doing that.
Oh, the Denver Scramble is one of my favorite parts of the game, where you take Denny's menu items and pretend that they're sex moves.
Yeah.
That one in the Senior Slam.
Man, are we just hungry? Is that why we're doing this?
This is a pretty hungry episode so far, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. Okay, so Han has to sit around forever, and he's like, you know, I've basically given up. Like, I'm not even scared of death anymore. I'm ready. I just wish Gethzerion would show up so I don't have to sit here for fucking hours.
I think that might be why we're so loose and unfocused right now, is because the climax of this book features Han sitting around for 4 hours waiting for shit.
Yeah, fucking the last three chapters of this book are just like, wait a minute. This is supposed to be the big end,
mm-hmm.
and there's maybe like 5 to 10 pages total of the last three chapters where you're like, ooh, this is fun. And the rest of it is just kind of like, and then Luke was asleep and Han was waiting around. And you're like, why? Why did you wait until the end of the book to do this?
Yeah. The other thing I find amazing about this is that Han has announced his intent to commit suicide, grabbed a thermal detonator, and stomped off towards oblivion. And this fails to rouse Chewbacca from his complete slumber in the book. Chewbacca has zero opinion about this plan.
Well, yeah. I mean, when he announced it last week, he was like, Chewie, I'm going to go kill myself. And Chewie was like, I'm Leonard Nimoy.
Obviously, I'm Leonard Nimoy.
Of course I can understand you. I'm Chewbacca. And, yeah. So the shuttles do come down. We get a whole bunch of stormtroopers show up, and Han's still just like, I can't blow it yet. I'd kill a bunch of stormtroopers, but that's garbage. I want to get Gethzerion. Like, that's the whole point of doing this.
And that's when our tertiary evil villain of the book comes striding down from the shuttle, General Melvar.
Melvar and his platinum fingernails.
So Melvar's a Razor Girl from the Neuromancer series, apparently, because he has metal fingernails.
Yeah, platinum fingernails that he immediately is like, ooh, Han, I'm the great Zinja's torturer. Ooh, and then let me show you what I can do. And he just like pokes a finger into a nerve cluster, and Han's like, ow, motherfucker.
Let's talk about this nerve cluster you were about to talk about.
Ooh, that nerve cluster, it's what you can get at the Denny's. Denny's has a great nerve cluster.
Is the cluster like the leftovers after you make Uncrustables?
Yeah, the factory that makes Uncrustables has a lot of nerve crusters left over.
They sell them in submarket stores. I want Uncrustables. Sorry, sweetie, you're getting pig nerve crusters.
Ah, pig nerve crusters.
It's just
hi, I'm pig nerve crusters.
I play minor league baseball.
I'm a second baseman.
Along with my third baseman, Spoops Magoops.
Yep, all us here in the minor leagues have the worst names you've heard of.
Four of us are named Catfish.
One of them is.
One of them is named Catfish.
One of them is a catfish.
And he's catfishing the other three.
And his name is Speeder. Who knew?
Wow. I'm sorry, folks.
It's a real goofy day here.
Sorry. Okay. So General Melvar, that's with three L's because I know how to spell Melvar.
thank you. I know how to spell Melvar.
He comes out. He's just like, ooh, I can't wait to torture you, Han Solo. I have a rich, interesting backstory. Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, nope. Ah, shit. Well, that's the end for me then.
It's such a promise of a pointless new Cenobite of an Imperial character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get a guy who shows up who's an Imperial torturer, has metal for fingernails.
Fingernails.
Metal for fingernails.
They use them to eat his cluster.
I want a cluster. God damn it.
He also has metal for his little button detonator, so don't worry about it.
This is getting real off the rails.
We're a little out of hand here. Sorry, everybody. We should have eaten first.
Oh, God damn. This needs to come with a warning. eventually, Gethzerion finally does come to show him off. And he's like, oh, good. I can probably blow up, like, definitely a bunch of Night Sisters, Gethzerion, Melvar. I might even damage the shuttles. This is great. This is my time to shine. And he's like, what up, you fuckers? It's detonator o'clock. And then nothing happens. And Gethzerion's like, what are you, fucking stupid? We have the Force. We knew you had a detonator in you since we picked you up and we turned it off. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, no, they broke it. They just noticed that he had a grenade on him and broke it. Presumably because the Imperials also have thermal detonators. So they've been very familiar with them for a very long time.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh, no.
Aww.
No, you're not allowed to have that. And Han's like, oh, my plan was dumb. Oh, I'm a big dumb idiot. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I won't blow you up with this broken thermal detonator if you can convince Leia to marry me.
And at that point, Gethzerion's like, all right, you're a big dumb idiot. Melvar, snap, you're dead.
Yeah.
You don't get to have anything more. No more Melvar business in this book. I'm sorry.
She just murders him. First, she's nice to him for like a split second. She's like, here, have the broken thermal detonator. It still has explosive material in it. And he's like, ah, thank you. And she's like, you're not going to let me off planet, are you? And he's like, no.
Oh, we are going to take me. I'm dead.
I have such sights to show. Yeah. It just gets murdered. And then she murders all the stormtroopers that were with him, and Han's like, oh, obviously, they didn't want to fly up to all those Star Destroyers that are up there in an unshielded shuttle. Of course they were going to kill this general idiot and just take his shielded one.
Yeah. And he was waiting. He's like, oh, but, you know, there's got to be gunners in there. Why aren't the guns firing? You're like, oh, again, I'm an idiot. They have the Force. They can just do whatever the fuck they want.
They just murdered everyone on the shuttle, didn't they?
Yeah. And then she just floats him around and is like, oh, Han, do you know how many bones are in an adult body?
206.
Well, if you do, you're about to have three times as many because I'm going to break them. You're like, that doesn't give you extra bones. I just have the same amount of bones, but now they're broken.
618?
snap.
Yes. Quit being a know-it-all.
Nobody likes a know-it-all, Han.
You would be the only person on the planet Florida who knew that. Yes, even the doctors.
Especially the doctors.
A lot, I reckon.
This one's just an alligator in a top hat.
I'm pretty sure this one's a palmetto bug.
Hey!
Big enough to have graffiti on him. All right, okay.
So she breaks Han's leg and it's like, ooh, I'm going to fuck your shit up, Han.
And then he's looking out in the distance.
He's like, ooh, wait a minute. I think a ship's coming in. I got a distractor. And he picks as a distraction, oh, I hope you aren't going to also break my teeth. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely doing that. And just like breaks one of his molars. And he goes, why am I still the biggest idiot ever? Why did I say this?
Yeah, you should have been like, you know what? I've always had a problem with my tiny, useless toe. Please don't break that pointless toe I have.
I did not think you were going to say toe.
My tiny, useless detonator.
My tiny, useless detonator.
Please don't destroy it. It failed to destroy you. Now you should do the same.
So, yeah, while she is destroying his molars one by one, In comes the Millennium Falcon and fucking blows everything up. Jesus Christ, what the shit?
Yeah, it blows up a bunch of Night Sisters and the spare shuttle and almost takes Geth Zarion's head off, but she dodges.
Yeah, like straight just shooting them blasters with pinpoint accuracy, dodging all of the turret defense systems on the prison. And Han looks at it and he's like, who the fuck is flying that? It's got to be a soldier because, Jesus, I don't think I can even fly that good.
Mm-hmm. And after it blows a bunch of Night Witches around, and the Geth Zarion immediately responds by just leaping into the shuttle and blowing the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. She's like, all right, well, fuck this. We've had enough fun. Anyway, I'm out.
Yeah. And Han is just standing there on a leg broken in three places.
Yeah. And he just kind of crawls away like a sad little man.
Yeah. But Geth Zarion's like, nope, discretion's the better part of valor. I do not want to be a part of whatever the fuck's going on with the Falcon.
The whole point of this was for me to get off planet. Fuck it. I'm not going to fight a spaceship.
Just so I can break bones. I don't care.
Yeah.
So she leaves. The Falcon lands enough for Han to get on board, and it's not Isolder flying it, because Isolder's the one who picks up Han at the gate.
Yeah, like, they drop down, the ramp opens, and Isolder and Leia basically come out and carry him in, and he's like, what the fuck is going on here? And Luke is, like, strapped into the controls because he's still basically half dead.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just force piloting and shooting the guns with the force.
He's operating both the turrets and flying the ship all with the force.
Yeah. At this point, Luke has gone, like, full force wizard. He's just like, nah, fuck it. I do anything I want.
Yeah, he's gone full quadratic.
Yeah, his eyes have now turned completely white, and he's just like, I am the Force. My favorite part of this, by the way, is when we first got that chapter where it was like Luke going, oh my God, it's everything. Life is the Force, and I'm part of the Force, and it's all just around me, and we're all connected, and oh yeah, I understand the light side. And he's like, oh, what are you going to do when you wake up? Oh, I'm going to murder the fuck out of so many people. You don't even understand. I'm just going to shoot missiles at bitches. I'm going to shoot lasers at people.
One of the things you start noticing when you're reading through this book is that Wolverton is very, very graphic in the violence. Where in Star Wars, the movies, when Han would, or when Luke would cut people up with a lightsaber, they just fall over.
Oh, yeah. They just go, and spin.
But in this, it's a whole lot of heads getting lopped off and titties flying every which way. And...
titties flying every which way.
But loose. And
well, no, not with Geth Zarion. Geth Zarion, it's always loose.
I keep them rolled and pretty.
Like a scarf around my neck.
Like a thin skirt steak surrounding some delicious broccoli cream.
So they get in there. Han comes up, and Luke continues to be ridiculous.
Yeah, Luke's just like, no, don't even touch the guns. I am doing everything at once.
Do not do a goddamn thing.
You just stand there and let the Force handle this problem, baby.
And it turns out that because of the way the night cloak or whatever works, no signals really come through except for, like, radio signals. So as long as the Falcon is radio silent, they're invisible, which is why they could fly out here and not get shot down by, like, 37 different Star Destroyers.
Yeah, the 40-plus Star Destroyers that are currently in orbit can't see them, but they also can't be seen. But R2-D2 was pretty canny and got a count of how many are up there before the night cloak went up.
Yeah.
So he has a pretty good idea.
Well, also, they don't care. They're still using radio transmissions.
Yes, so they're pretty obvious. But Luke's plan now is, I have to shoot down these Night Witches.
But they try a few times. Nothing really works. It's got heavy shields. Mm-hmm. So instead, he's like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. Let's put the radio on full blast. I got to crank some fucking Motley Crue.
He turns the radio on full blast, and it's that Don Henley Boys of Summer song.
He turns the radio on full blast, and the boys are back in town, baby.
It's that horrible Atari's cover of Boys of Summer.
Oh, no. Saw a black flag sticker on a Cadillac.
Fuck yourself. I mean, I'm not saying Black Flag is a better band than Let That One Pass.
I'm letting it pass.
Thank you. I'm not saying Black Flag is a worse band than The Grateful Dead. I mean,
I am. Though.
I'm not. I think that Black Flag might be better than the Grateful Dead. I mean, have you ever listened to any Grateful Dead song that isn't Touch of Grey?
No, but I've also never listened to any Black Flag song. So there you go.
Fair enough. Okay. So yeah, there you have it.
So they turn the radio on full blast, basically just to get the attention of them. They momentarily break the shield cover,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, ah, here we go. That's all I needed to do was just announce to the Star Destroyers that we were a-coming, and now I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Like, turns the radio back off, goes back down into the night cover, and as they're going down, they see the fucking Star Destroyers just blow the fuck out of this transport.
Yeah, now the transport presumably has all of the Night Sisters on it.
Well, I mean, at least the ones that were right there when Gesserion took off.
Yeah, there's probably a few running around down below, but I guess her idea was to take as many as she could out on the shuttle.
Well, she did sort of get rushed along because of the fucking Millennium Falcon, so it was just she had sent some in there to start with, and then she jumped in there, so I assume it's whoever was directly nearby the shuttle.
Yeah, but Gesserion's death is pretty much anticlimactic. It's just obvious what happens.
Yeah.
Luke draws attention to her, and the Star Destroyers just pick her off.
Yep. So then when they go back into the darkness, they're like, all right, we got to find, you know, a hole in their formation. We got to get out of here. And Luke, of course, is like,
no, the worms.
You go fuck yourself. There are worms on this planet. And trees.
I mean, he's more or less right. They've made a lot of friends on the planet, and the planet will be absolute 0 degrees in like 3 days.
Yeah, so he's just like, nope, I gotta blow up this thing, because if I don't, then all of these things on there will die, and even if the people survive, all the worms will die. And I can't let that happen because I'm very high right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't let those waffle worms die because we need them to live so we can turn them into leather products after we kill them.
Exactly. It's the circle of life.
The waffas.
Woohoo!
And Han's like, I don't want to do that. That's insane. We can't do that. But I'll tell you what. I'll let you fly and destroy the Nightcloak if you can convince Leia to marry me.
God damn it. Leia, at this point, has essentially convinced herself.
Yes,
as
she's,
well.
She's come around. She told Luke as much before they went to pick up Han. She's like, yeah. But I love him now.
Oh, no.
Also, at this point, Isolde more or less has convinced himself that he's going to take Tenennial with him. He's like, yeah, I'm marrying this lady.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a scene before this where Tenennial and him are just like, hey,
I'm leaving, so what's going to happen when you leave? What's going to happen to me? I don't know. I guess I'll think about you.
Huh. Yeah, that's no good. Why don't you instead marry me? And he's like, that would be really weird politically.
And he's like, well, I could take you with me, and you could just go to any one of those plants you want. And she's like, yeah, it's not good enough, because I would prefer that you marry me.
How about you don't?
And he's like, yeah, that doesn't even make the first bit of sense. And she's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm kissing you. And he's like, oh, okay, I want to marry you now. And that's pretty much how it goes.
Oh, yeah, she's like, look, you love me. I know you do. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Oh, like, God. The part where she tells him that is so weird, because she's like, oh, one of the powers that the witches of Dathomir have is that we can tell when someone's in love with us if we are in love with them. No, it
great.
Isn't. Yeah, it's not. You have one of those little flappy paper things that 8-year-olds make.
You have one of those little machines that you grip and it tells you what kind of lover you are. And it's like, ooh, I'm it super red hot.
I'm a spicy enchilada? Oh, that means I got to marry Solter.
Oh man, see, enchiladas, see, which is more food.
We're hungry. I'm sorry,
there's a hungry episode.
Hungry ep. Yeah, it's true.
So they're gonna apparently get married is their plan, I guess. And he's like, yeah, fuck it, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. So they blow up the orbital night shield. They Luke takes out a few of them, and it starts a chain reaction that destroys them all.
Yeah. Now the shield gets dropped. Oh, boy. We can see everything. It's too late. We've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
And there in the sky is a giant battle happening right now because it's the Hapens.
Hapies, Hapies, Hapies.
They showed up early.
Yeah. In a clear violation of Hape law, the Hapens have arrived a couple days early because they pretty much just went through hyperspace like idiots.
Well, we find out when Isolde contacts his old bodyguard.
Oh yeah, Captain Astarta makes a reappearance on the book.
Yeah, and she's like, hey, when we left after you guys went down to the planet, I sent Luke's astrogation path to the Hapes group.
exactly what I was saying should happen, but I think we thought at the time that it was probably impossible because his astrogation path was too complicated.
Well, his astrogation path was, I sense there's going to be a meteor in front of me, go to the left, and I don't know how that works if you're just like, yeah, sure, fuck it, let's do that too.
I don't know how normal astrogation paths work in that situation then, because meteors are pretty much constantly on the move.
Well, that's why it takes so long, is you're like, well, we have to go through areas of space that we know don't have shit in it.
Oh, so, yeah, except that there's always shit in space, but whatever, anyway.
Yeah, I'm always shitting in space.
Hmm?
Constantly.
That's what we do. We
shit on space.
Here we are, we poop in space. Born to be kings. We're the poopers in the universe.
So, yeah. They show up early because of that, and so there's a giant fight.
Interestingly, the Hapen battle dragons that arrive are disgorging steel balls everywhere.
Yep. And those balls stop people from leaving. I think we mentioned this
we
in
did,
a
when I talked about interdictors.
Episode.
These are called pulse mass generators, and they're one of the variations on interdiction fields.
Yeah, so it just means that no one can jump to hyperspace. The Hapens are just going, look, either we are going to win or die. Fuck it, everyone is going down.
Ride or die, Isolder, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's a shitload of Hapen battle dragons flying around out here. So it's a really big, super pitched battle between a tremendous number of these weird battle dragon things, and which again, kind of look like
two
Frisbees kind of nailed together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like that toy. Maybe you ever have that toy, John, where it was like a spool?
I did have a toy, John.
You had a toy, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. The briefcase you can poop in.
See, I was going a toy, John. It came from the action figures from my Pretty Woman.
Oh.
This is my toy, John.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
So, but no, that toy that was like a spool, a magnetic spool, and like a wire.
Oh, yeah. That
handle. Yeah, that's what Hapen Battle Dragons look like, is that spool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing, it kind of goes around and around.
Yeah,
it's
goes
fun. Yeah, it's like weirdly satisfying.
So weirdly satisfying. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I could just sit there for so long to be like, yep, and back we go. And up again.
Up around the little part
again.
Of the J.
And on the outside and on the inside.
I wonder if there are kids out there who have literally no idea what we're talking about because that toy has died.
I assume at least several people listening right now are like, what the fuck? And the rest of them are going, oh my God, that thing. I love that thing.
I want one of those right now.
I am 50 years old and I will play with that for hours right now.
The other half of our listeners are like, oh my God, they're going on about hoops and sticks again.
Hey, remember when we used to play Kick the Can?
Yeah, we had except cans weren't invented yet, so we were kicking a woven basket.
Well, yeah, can was a derogatory term for an immigrant at that time.
Mostly the Polish.
So yeah, the fight goes down, and it turns out that fucking Zinj is there in his big battle cruiser
destroyer
thing.
Star
Viper
Crunchy.
It's, I don't even know. It's an executor class, I think.
Oh, that makes it a super class, because the executor was a super class Star Destroyer.
Oh, yeah, it's a super
Destroyer. He's got his own super Star Destroyer, which means it's 11 miles long, I think. No, it's 11 kilometers long.
Yeah.
So it's very unmistakable.
And at this point, Han takes over, and he's like,
I hate this so much.
Hey, buddy,
much.
You got to let me take over, because
that's Zinj. I want Zinj.
I'm going to fucking kill Zinj. And Luke is like, oh, murder's cool. Yeah, when you do it, no one cares. You don't have the force. Anyway, have at.
Yeah, because he turns around. He's like, okay, Your Majesty. And then the book has to be like, and there was no trace of irony in Luke's voice when he said that obviously stupid thing.
Luke totally meant to call Han Your Majesty and not being sarcastic. That was just a speech impediment.
Okay, Your Majesty, he says, getting out of the seat from the Falcon. And then Han gets in it, and with a leg broken in three places, which the book mentions, flies in on the Star Destroyer.
Yeah, flies in, and he's like, ooh, here, watch this. I'm going to pretend like I don't want to be next to it, but I do want to be next to it. And then when we're sitting next to each other, I'm going to slide my hand over, and our hands are going to touch.
And then, when our eyes lock, I'm going to ask it to convince Princess Leia to marry me.
So it chases after some fucking TIE fighters. That's the name of those things.
Oh, you mean
the Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon, yeah. Because his actual speech to Luke is hilarious. He's like, the secret to chasing a Star Destroyer is you got to mosey on in on it.
Don't look like you're trying to come right for it. Just Just go around.
Cut a hole in the bottom of a popcorn barrel and then fly through that. Casual.
So his big plan is when he gets near, a tractor beam hits the Millennium Falcon. He's like, ooh, sweet. I'm going to prime up our last two missiles, and I'm going to wait. And he waits until they get within the shields, and once they've gotten through the shields, he fires missiles into the fucking,
well, he calls
the tractor beam.
He calls Zinge on the phone, too.
Oh, well, he has to do that afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Because it's, once he does that, he's like, great, now I'm up in the shields, so I can fly around there, and now I've got a priority red alert for Zinge. And Zinge gets on the line and is like, yes, this is Zinge.
Hello.
Hello, Zinge here.
Have you seen my private torturer? Love that man.
Ah, Melvar.
I've watched him torture 46 elephants.
Sigh. And of course, Han just has to be like, hey, it's Han Solo, but fuck it, I'm in here, and you kissed my Wookiee. You remember when I said that? And that was an insult? Anyway, missiles.
Yeah, I do recall that. Where is your Wookiee?
I would so like to kiss him.
I'd like to give him a big slapper on the lips.
He can't find Chewbacca. He's not here.
Chewbacca, meanwhile, is, I assume, still on Dathomir and just declined to even join in.
I'm sure he's on the ship because it might be a one-way flight and they may not come back to Dathomir, but I guarantee you he's just sitting at the Dajaric table just playing video games. He's like, oh, sweet, a charger. I was at 14%, you guys.
Oh, God. Real lifesaver.
Thank you. Oh, no, I don't want to participate in the ship flying. I thought Luke did that. I thought he had Harn. Harn, you guys.
Oh, I mean Harn.
Harn.
So, yeah. Fucking Solo gets to have his final little say, and then he shoots missiles at the cockpit of the Star Destroyer.
That's like shooting things at the cockpit of New Jersey. This thing is so big, it's so dumb that he's just like, yes, you have to sneak up on it. But sneak up on it. It's a flying island.
Yeah, but since I hit the cockpit, now all the controls are down, which means all the shields are also down?
Also, that's definitely where Zinge was.
Yeah, so like, he definitely kills Zinge, and then a bunch of, like, Hapen cruisers just open up on the ship that's still intact. It just can't do anything.
Right.
So they blow it the fuck up just to make sure.
Yeah, no, they blow up the Super Star Destroyer.
That stupid Star Destroyer.
The Iron Fist is a stupid Star Destroyer.
It's true.
It's also a terrible first season of television.
It's also true.
I don't care about Meachums. You can't make me. They never are going to have any cool powers.
I don't have any cool powers.
I'm just named Ward Meacham, and I'm kind of irritating.
Huh?
Yeah, so anyhow, at this point, Isolde contacts Captain Astarte to kind of figure out what the shit's going on. But before that, Han is exultant in his defeat of Warlord Zinge. He's like, it's finally over. I realize now that I need a massage real bad because my arms and shoulders are all knotted up from not having been able to kill this guy.
Yeah, we've been fighting this guy for so long. And, you know, it's not like everything's going to fall apart overnight, but fucking good.
Yeah.
Good.
But I can't take pleasure in killing a man. That's dumb. But it is important that I killed that man.
It's real good that I did.
Now, at this point, Leia comes up behind him and starts massaging his big shoulders with her thin hands, according to the book.
And also, he's like, ooh, Han, you did it. And he's like, nah, man, I mean, he's dead, but I think Zinge's holdouts will be around for a while.
Also, Han, remember that deal I made to spend 7 days with you on Dathomir to see if I love you? And he's like, ugh, oh God, I feel so stupid. This is like seeing the texts I sent last night. No, you know what? This is a mistake.
I'm sorry. Let's just get you home.
And she's like, but it worked. I love you.
You big old rascal of a man.
Oh, kidnap me again.
You've kidnapped my heart and unconsensually taken it from me.
You've shot me with the Hapen gun of marriage.
Which, I mean, also exists. The Hapen people are just the worst.
Big on guns.
big on non-con.
Okay, so the two of them kiss, and we have to cut to Isolde's point of view for it, so we can be like, yes, yes, they're good at kissing.
Ooh, look at that. Daddy love.
But I'm definitely not jealous of this, because I've moved on. I like that constantly naked 19-year-old down there on the planet, the one with the scarred-up boob.
Yeah, and we get a final scene of Dathomir where the Queen Mother Ta'a-Chume herself is on planet, and Isolde gets to be like, hey, yo, I'm marrying this dirty barbarian.
Random native I found.
And
as far as you know, I've met two women. I'm marrying the second one.
So go fuck yourself. And she's like, how dare you? I'm the Queen Mother. And Luke's just like, hey, you wanna tell your son who sent those assassins after him?
He doesn't use any force powers with these. He's like, hey, who sent those assassins? And she's like, I did.
I assume this was back when they had their dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Luke must have found that out then.
Yeah, he probably just mind read her when he asked if he could see her eyes.
Yeah. So
that happened a long, long time ago, seven or so episodes back. He asked to see her eyes beyond the veil, and I'm sure at that point he was like, ah, I have mind read you, because this book is all about non-consensual.
Ah, good. Yes, I'm up in your brain meats, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes, I'm a Jedi, indeed.
I've stolen all of your secrets, and there's nothing you could do.
Yes.
It's too late, I've seen it all.
Also, I've seen your panties. Oh, how ribald.
So yeah, she's like, oh, fine, fuck it. Yeah, I sent some assassins after Princess Leia.
Because she's a penniless pacifist from a blown-up planet.
I do not want her to be the queen. She is a pacifist, and being a pacifist is what the past ruler did, and it's why we got taken over by the Empire.
It's weird how that's the weakness she mentions. She's like, in 4,000 years, we've always been warlike. But here's the thing that she says it's actually a good point, is, fine, if Leia marries you, then we are an independent colony of planets for as long as I'm alive. Because the moment she's in charge, she's just going to sign up with the New Republic.
Yeah.
But also, she's a pacifist. And everyone's like, that's the part I'd like to focus on, please.
Please.
Please. Can we just talk about the pacifist comment and not the perfectly reasonable first thing you said?
Yeah, not the point where you were like, by the way, we've always been independent.
4,000-year history.
We chafed under the rule of the Empire, and now that we're free, we don't want to just immediately give our shit over to some other empire.
And he's like, but the first woman I was supposed to marry was a pacifist. Yes, I had her killed. And my brother, yes, I had him killed.
Yeah, pretty much everyone is dead because of me. I just murder everyone.
Yeah,
like,
that. It's just this long list. And then this is the moment for, this is Tenennial Dio. Sorry, I almost named her daughter.
Tenennial Joe.
Tenennial Joe shows up and is like, well, I'm not a pacifist. I'll beat your fucking face in, you dumb old lady.
Yeah, if you try to do anything to me, I'll fucking murder you.
And she shows her by, like, beating up all of her guards
pushing
her against the wall.
Saying you will murder the Queen Mother is punishable by execution.
Yeah.
So the guards and the queen are all like, oh, well, fuck you. And she just, like, force crushes the blaster that the Queen Mother has and then slams all the guards into the wall and is like, hey, fuck you, lady. You want to send assassins after me, you little bitch? Let's go.
Let's do this. And Isolde's like, see, you said you didn't want to be ruled by spoonbenders, but look, now our kids are going to be spoonbenders. And I'm like, stop it. Stop making the Force dynastic. I know full well that their kid is a Force user. Her name is Tennel Ka, and she's terrible.
Ugh. Boo.
But,
fucking boo.
She has a lightsaber, and the horn is made of a Rancor tooth.
Boo. Star Wars, goddammit.
I think she ends up dating Jason Solo for a while. I don't remember.
Yeah, but who didn't?
Oh, yeah. Jason Solo got around.
Around.
He also dated Lobaka.
Lobot.
Yeah, Lobot, kind of an age queen, but everyone's into it.
So, yeah, that's basically the end of that. Isolde is going to marry Tenennial Joe, and Leia's going to marry Han Solo.
Yeah, and we cut to chapter 27, which is indeed the wooing, the marriage of Princess Leia.
And it's just Luke getting lost.
So Luke is several hours late to the wedding, so he misses a bunch of pre-ceremony crap, because the taxi driver he hired took him to the Alderaanian envoy and not the Alderaanian one.
Which... Like, if you're Luke Skywalker, hero of the Republic, you're in your, you know, wedding best, and you're like, I need to go to the Alderaanian embassy for a wedding. And the guy's like, Alderaanian embassy it is. And it's apparently hours away. And one, you don't notice this. You're like, oh, yeah, I see we're driving in the opposite direction that we need to go. That's fine.
Too busy checking various lizards for force breath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's just sitting there like, ooh, the gum in this cab is part of the force.
Oh, the in-screen entertainment on this cab is part of the force. And it's terrible.
So... what cab driver is like, yep, Alderaanians, you've never heard of them and they don't matter. Here you go.
They come from the planet Alderaan. I could have seen this if it had been a Tatooinean thing, because then it could have been like, oh yeah, Dantooine, no problem, I got you, boss. But apparently there's a whole species of little insect people called the Alderaanians.
Great.
I hope Luke had a fun time at their council, though.
I do hope so, that he showed up and they're like, oh,
whoa, Luke Skywalker.
Holy shit.
And he's in his Sunday best.
Wow. The master. I have been chosen.
Sorry, little guys. I'm just going to leave you here.
I got to go. No.
No.
The master. What is your business? Oh.
So he ends up at the wedding a little late. He runs into C-3PO outside the wedding.
And 3PO is losing his shit. He's like, oh, I fucked up. Oh, I fucked up real bad. Oh, the hooker is dead from the bachelor party, Master Luke.
Very bad things are happening. Also, that was a terrible film. Why are you referencing it?
But no, he's messed up. And he's like, oh, it turns out that Master Solo's actually not royalty. His great-grandfather was a pretender to the throne.
Yeah, great-uncle Coral Solo was a pretender to the throne, which is weird because the first thing he was like, oh, yes, he's the son of a deposed and evil king. And it was like, I feel like deposing is even one step worse than, you know...
I was a guy who wanted the throne rather than I was a guy who was kicked off the throne for being too much of a dickbag.
Yeah, I think between the two of them, the one who's been who was a pretender at least actually ruled for a while, legitimately by bloodline or not.
I mean, the pretender to the throne, you got to think, all right, well, he at least wasn't told you are not allowed to be the ruler of this planet.
Yeah, but apparently the wedding has to be called off immediately because a slight change in the weird genealogy of King Solo has been found.
And fucking Luke is like, oh, yeah, obviously, 3PO, if you could just follow me into this closet and shove, nerd, turns him off and closes the door.
Yep, that's literally what happens. Luke turns C-3PO off and hides him in a closet.
Great.
3PO, why don't you just stay in here and write a long song about how Han almost got the throne?
Huh? How about that?
Han Solo, what an almost king, Solo.
And then we get to see the final nuptials.
Yeah, in a huge, huge auditorium made of uwa trees.
Ooh, trees.
Uwa trees.
Ooh, what's this, trees?
And 1,000 people are there, but the only people that get mentioned are Isolde and Tenennial.
Yep.
Because they get to sit in the front row right next to R2-D2.
Good. Chewbacca, not mentioned. I have to assume he's not even the best man.
I my guess is that he's standing on the dais to just roar when he doesn't get a medal.
Yeah. They're like, I pronounce you man and wife, and he just turns and goes, rah!
I mean, obviously he's the best man at the wedding, but come on. He doesn't even get a mention.
God damn it, Buck.
Chewbacca, wherefore art thou, Chewbacca? Indeed, why is he Chewbacca?
Chewbacca do, where are you?
Here.
Chewie Chewie do, where are you?
Man, I kind of want to write that whole song out. I kind of want to do that. But yeah.
We got some imps to kill now.
So, Isolde is sitting right there in the front row with that flower from the very beginning of the book in his lap. The one that's purple and I think it's called the Loradel or something like that.
I don't know.
It's the flower that was, when it dries around its own seed so it turns into a little baby rattle. And you're supposed to give one to people on their first night of being married so that they can have kids.
Yeah.
So that he's there with the flower from his own traditional backstory, and Tenennial is just sitting there like, heck yeah, I'm a badass kind of evil Jedi lady. What's up? You let me loose on the universe, you dumb shits.
Yeah, I'm kind of dark side. What's up now?
Yeah. Oh, also, Isolde's last comment to his mom before she left the planet, Dathomir, was, "Oh, and last thing, Mom, we're joining the New Republic now." Yeah. And she's like, fine.
Whatever.
And there you have it.
And that's the book.
I guess Leia turns around and smiles at Luke. And she has diadems in her veil. And she's so happy. Perhaps the most full of joy anyone could be.
Most happiest I've ever seen her.
Yeah. With the highest amount of joy. Perhaps she was as filled with joy as anyone could be.
As you possibly could be.
Yeah. Being married to your recent kidnapper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the book.
That's the whole book.
That's the entirety of that book.
That's the book from start to finish.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Now, we will, of course, be doing a wrap-up episode, as we always do.
Yeah, we'll discuss our thoughts, our feelings, our innermost desires.
How hungry we are.
Our little button decanters or whatever it was. Decanators.
God damn it.
Didn't see
little
that.
Button decanters.
That's getting dumber every
it's
time.
It's getting worse all the time.
Speaking of getting worse all the time, we have bonus content coming.
If you support us at the $2 or more level on patreon.com/systemmastery, you get access to our bonus content.
Mm-hmm.
We've got every fucking week bonus content.
Yeah, it's way too much. We should have made that bi-weekly.
It
or
don't
monthly
matter.
Or something. We should have. It's too late, though.
It's too late. The you get to reap the whirlwind.
The gate cannot be shut. We make on average, seven episodes of bonus content every month.
What are we doing here?
Why did we do that? It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too. No one could possibly be listening to everything we make.
No one could possibly enjoy listening to our shitty voices that much.
It's insane to me. But yeah, for the $2 level, you unlock at least six of those bonus content episodes, including these where we go on Wikipedia, we find crazy stories from Wikipedia, we come back and tell them to each other, and it's all a very fun time.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you feel like supporting us at a higher level and making our dreams come true, ooh-woo, then all you have
ooh-woo.
To...
You make my dreams come true. Ooh, woo.
I love that song's in, what is that, trochaic tetrameter or whatever, the same meter as the DuckTales song?
Yep.
And also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is why those are the songs that get stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And I believe also the dialogue that the witches speak in Hamlet.
Also that.
Yeah. Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, fire, burn, and cauldron, bubble. See, it works. It's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, to get that bonus content, go to patreon.com/systemmastery.
And support us.
At the $2 or $5 levels. The $5 level gets you the Afterthought podcast, which it's good. It's a lot of fun. It's back in bonus content form.
And you can join it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also join our Discord. If you go to Twitter, you can find us there as System Mastery, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And pinned is the link to our Discord. Now, you go on there. If you are a patron, you get a special color if you link your Patreon and your Discord.
Yeah, or if you just send us a message.
Yeah, you know, either way.
Yeah, well,
and that lets you get access to our patrons-only channel, and at the five or up, you get access to the Afterthought channel as well, where you can ask us questions.
Which we will answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, unless you ask us like 40. Well, then we'll ask like one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're rich.
Rich.
And then, goddammit.
So many questions.
So many questions.
I love you, buddy.
You're great, but Jesus.
Calm down. No, why are we calling out our fans?
Yeah. So we are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on fucking Reddit. We're everywhere. You can find us. It doesn't matter.
You want to be.
Yeah, we're on Visa cards. We're on MasterCards. Not American Express, though.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But yes, Discover, weirdly
oddly
enough.
Discover.
Yeah, and still Diners Club, even though that doesn't even exist anymore.
Yes.
If you like your jokes well-aged, come to System Mastery.
Well and truly aged.
Cave-aged jokes right here.
Our jokes are full of maggots, and they're ready for consumption.
Oh, like that South American cheese.
Yep, oh. That's what I was going for.
Blah, this looks so creepy.
It's real nasty.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Until we see you again with that wrap-up episode next week, I've been Elan Sleazbagiano.
And I love button decanters.
Little button decanters.
Little button decanters.
Tiny George Carlin's with a gun.